Well, last weekend we finished up the five-part series on Jezebel Rising. So, I thought maybe we'd be moving on, and we are a little ways, but not as far as I thought. So if you would turn with me to 2 Kings 9, we're going to read verses 30 through 37. We'll probably take today and next Sunday to preach this message. But this is a sequel to what we just studied. And I've entitled this message, Rising Up Against Jezebel. If Jezebel is going to rise, somebody needs to rise up against her. Alright, so in Scripture we see it was Jehu. Alright? And I pray in Jesus' name that there be a Jehu spirit rise up in this nation to rise up and squelch that Jezebel spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about in this message, alright? Again, 2 Kings 9, verses 30 through 37 is our foundational text for this message. Beginning to read. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, and looked out of the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, "Have you come in peace, Zimri, you murderer of your master?" He looked up at the window and called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. "Throw her down," Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Jehu went in and ate and drank. "Take care of that cursed woman," he said, "and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." But when they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. They went back and told Jehu, who said, "This is the word of the Lord that he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite. On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs will devour Jezebel's flesh. Jezebel's body will be like refuse on the ground in the plot at Jezreel, so that no one will be able to say, 'This is Jezebel.'" Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation that comes from you through the power of your Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us revelation today from your word through the power of your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would just hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this message, that, Lord, I would only speak the words you have ordained for me to speak today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So knowing the characteristics of the Jezebel spirit is very important if we are going to be able to identify the spirit at work. So once we know those characteristics and can accurately identify her, then what? So we need to know how to effectively rise up and take a stand against this evil spirit. We've got to learn how to stand. Any evil spirits, Satan, we need to learn how to stand. And when I think about standing, it makes me think of Ephesians 6. Look at your neighbor and say, "The armor of God." All right, Ephesians 6, and I want to read with you verses 10 through 13. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, and it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." I want to stop there a second. Do you realize that it is possible? God has made it more than possible for us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Yes. See, our problem is, though, because we are human, in our humanity, we too often look at our own limitations. And when we get stuck on looking at our own limitations in our humanity, then we don't see ourselves as fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. God has purposed every one of his children to be overcomers. And included in being overcomers is overcoming every demonic force that establishes itself against us and against the power of the Word of God working in us. Right? So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We've got to learn to quit looking at our own limitations and look at Jesus, who has no limitations whatsoever. He has no limits. He is our all in all. He's everything. He's every weapon that we need. He's our full armor. If you track down every piece of the armor of God that is mentioned in Ephesians 6, there is a reference elsewhere in Scripture to Jesus being that fulfillment of every piece of that armor. Every bit of it. So it's literally, when we are putting on the armor of God, we are clothing ourselves with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? So, okay. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, in other words, clothe yourself with Christ, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Schemes. The devil is a schemer. I got a few other names for him, but we'll leave it at schemer today, all right? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's why it is futile for us to try to battle demonic forces in our flesh. It is futile. We cannot win by battling things in the flesh that are of the Spirit. So we've got to get our mindset changed. Not looking at our own limitations, but looking at Jesus. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right, now, the whole idea of heavenly realms has been a stumbling block to people for years and years and years. Wait a minute, I thought Satan and all evil was cast out of heaven. Right? It gets a little confusing. Okay, well, let me explain here. The heavenly realms is literally, probably better translated, the arid places. This is not talking about heaven. When it's translated heavenly realms, it's talking about arid places, the arid places around us. The dimension that you and I live in coincides with the spiritual dimension. Think about it. We talked about this a little bit in Bible study Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. But I want to revisit that. Gehazi, for example, was freaked out when Elisha and him were surrounded. And Elisha said, mellow out, Gehazi. Just mellow out. And he prayed, and the Lord opened up Gehazi's eyes, and he saw the army of the Lord surrounding their enemies. See, when we look at it in the flesh like Gehazi did, it's like, we're going to die! But when we look at it in the Spirit and battle it in the Spirit, because it's Spirit that we're battling, then we are overcomers. We overcome anything demonic that comes against us. Because our battle is not with people. My battle is not with the person that wrongs me. Your battle is not with the person that wrongs you. The person that lies about you, I know it makes you want to give them a fistful of knuckles.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a warrior at heart. I mean, I'm kind of geared that way. I gotta fight that, okay? I'm in a battle with myself half of the time because somebody might need cracked according to my flesh. But see, we're not battling the flesh. The person that lies about you, the person that lies about me, what our battle is with is the lying spirit that's on them. Not the person. Right? And whatever the situation is. I gave that as an example, but there are many, many other examples where we get our eyes on the person, but it's not the person. It's the spirit that is in them or on them. So we battle against the rulers, authorities, and powers. Rulers, authorities, and powers. There are levels of authority and powers in the demonic realm, just like there are in the realm of God's Spirit. In the devil's kingdom, there are levels of authority. In God's kingdom, there are levels of authority. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
We need to recognize that. Against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the arid places. Can I substitute that for heavenly realms? In the arid places. In the areas around us, in the spirit realm. There's evil all around us all the time. The good news is God and His angels are around us as well.
Amen.
So we have nothing to fear as we look at this. It says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, in other words, when the attack comes, God opened my understanding and helped me to see that this year, specifically, the Jezebel spirit will rise to new levels, is rising up. Well, I would assert that God showed me that so that I could do what I'm doing and prepare you guys so that when God's people rise up, Jezebel's not going to have her way in this church.
Yeah.
We're not going to waste the revelation that God has given.
Right.
Ain't happening. We're going to utilize what God has given us because He's a good God. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that, in other words, all of Christ, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. In his book, entitled Jezebel's War with America, Dr. Michael Brown lays out how to defeat the Jezebel spirit. And so the points that follow here are points that come from Dr. Brown's book written about what I just said, the title, Jezebel's War with America. If you have not heard of that book and have not gotten a copy of that book, I would encourage you to get a copy of that book. I got it about 6 weeks ago and read it, and I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. And it's not like I haven't read and studied a lot of stuff about Jezebel, but this comes from a perspective that is very, very good. the way it's laid out. If you don't know who Dr. Brown is, he was one of the main teachers years ago in the Brownsville Revival that went on in Brownsville. And Pastor John Kilpatrick pastored that revival, and that revival went on for 5 years, nonstop. They actually did schools of revival, and I went to one of those schools with another pastor friend of mine years ago. It was in Chicago, and we went to that school. It was a 3-day school. It was an amazing experience. Learned a lot, and Dr. Brown taught some of those sessions as well as others. Lindell Cooley was the worship leader that God had anointed to do the worship in those, in that revival and in those events. And they shared a lot about the attacks that come. Listen, I want you to understand something. When there is a true revival of God, not one that man plans and says we're going to have a revival. I'm talking about one that God just springs forth, like happened in Brownsville. When that happens, then the enemy looks for every way he can to infiltrate that revival and bring it to an end, and that's what happened. All the leaders started fighting after 5 years, and it disbanded the whole thing. Disunity broke up that revival, as it has every revival that has ever taken place. But they shared about the attacks. Lindell Cooley stood behind his keyboard on the pulpit. There were 2,000 of us, roughly, in that building when I was at that school revival. And he stood there with tears running down his face and shared how tired he was and weary of the battle, weary of the attacks. I mean, these guys got real about how hard it really is when you get a target put on you because God's doing huge things. And he stood there and wept and said, I want to quit, but I can't because I have to obey God. With tears running down his face. In the middle of one of the biggest revivals, authentic revivals, that's ever been on this land. So, that's the guy we're talking about that wrote this book. So I hope I've sparked enough interest that at least half of you are going to order that book and then share it with the other half. How about it?
Amen.
All right, first major point that Dr. Brown makes in this book on how to defeat Jezebel in your personal life. He deals with this in the second to the last chapter in the book. The first point under this heading of how to defeat Jezebel in your personal life. See, we need to learn how to defeat Jezebel in our personal lives before we can effectively together defeat Jezebel in our nation. Isn't that right? And to break that down further, to defeat Jezebel in our church. And then defeat Jezebel in our nation. In our region, first of all. Yeah. So, there's levels. Like we talked about earlier. First point that Dr. Brown says, do not walk in fear. Resist walking in fear. Fear paralyzes. How many of you have ever said, man, that dude looked like a deer in headlights? Frozen with fear. That's what that means. So fear paralyzes. It'll paralyze you for a season. You just can't move. Fear also suffocates. Have you ever had something scare you so bad that you couldn't even get a breath of air? It suffocates. Fear debilitates. And fear torments. Fear torments us if we give it a place. When we give fear a place in our life, it torments us day and night. When we are awake, we do this, because we're worrying about whatever it is we are fearing. Let me give you an acronym for fear. F is for false. false? E is for evidence. A is for appearing. R is for real. Satan will flood our minds with false evidence of things that could be, that might be. See, you and I, we don't worry about what is. We worry about what might be. And the enemy knows that. And so he attacks our minds with false evidence being made to appear real. And then these things happen to it. It paralyzes us. It suffocates us. It debilitates us. It torments us if we give it a place in our lives. Jezebel works through this. Do you need an example? Well, let me give you a real good one from the Bible. That's a good place to get examples, right? Well, how about Elijah? He was the prophet of fire, for Pete's sakes. He just took down all the prophets of Baal. Smoked them. He took them out, man. And Jezebel, one woman, threatened his life and he ran for his life. One woman's threat made him run for his life. He was consumed by fear. And if the prophet of fire, Elijah, of all people, could be afflicted by this spirit and made to run because of fear, how much more then are we susceptible if we don't stay in the Spirit of God and realize who we are in Christ? Yeah. It's vitally important that we understand we're not fighting flesh and blood, so we can't fight in the flesh. Got to stay in the spirit realm. So that's why God exhorts us throughout the scriptures not to fear. Think about it. When you're reading the Word, how many times isn't it throughout the Old and New Testament that you see the words, "Do not fear." Fear not. We see it throughout the Word. Well, God didn't, He doesn't waste anything. So when God tells us that many times in Scripture not to fear, then why is He doing that? Because He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He knows we'll have a tendency to walk in fear. He also knows that the enemy is going to work in this way and attack us through this false evidence being made to look real. We've got to be able to identify the false evidence and say, "Oh, it's just you, you liar. It's just you again. Well, my God says that I can do all things through Him which strengthens me." In your face, liar. Right? First place I want to look, I can't look at all of them with you, but I want to show you a few. Isaiah 41, verse 10, if you're taking notes. He speaks through the prophet Isaiah. He says in verse 10, "So do not fear." Why? "For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know what that verse tells me? Don't fear, because I got you. God's saying to us through the prophet Isaiah, "Don't fear, because I got you. I know it looks like this and it looks like that, and I know the enemy is speaking and whispering this in your ear, but I'm just here to tell you, don't buy into that because I got you. I got you in the palm of my hand, and nobody, not the devil, not Jezebel, nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Don't fear, for I am with you. Do you believe, as a believer, that God is with you everywhere you go at every moment of every day?
Yes.
See, because we need to remember that. See, he is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. I don't know how many of you here remember the old cartoons, but I think there's quite a few that will remember Savoir Faire. Savoir Faire is everywhere. Well, Jesus has got Savoir Faire trumped. So do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Whatever it is that you are going through, grab a hold of Jesus. Get a hold of the hem of the garment, like the woman with the issue of blood, and just hang on, because he'll take you skiing.
Amen.
Yep.
Luke 12, verse 32 is another key one I want to look at. It says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Our God is pleased to give us the kingdom.
Amen.
To welcome us into his kingdom. And when we are immersed in God's kingdom, Satan and his kingdom has no power over us. Never, ever forget that God and his kingdom are greater than the devil or any other kingdom that rises up. Our God is all powerful, and it's going to end the way he says it's going to.
Amen.
Want another one?
Yeah.
John 14, verse 27. Jesus' words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Is anybody like me, and all too often lay awake at night because my heart is troubled about this or that or the other thing? See, we're still in process. But realistically, as we mature in the Lord, as we become more and more sanctified, we will worry less and trust more. That's a big sign of maturity in our lives. Maturing in Christ is we worry less and we trust more. I need that. Not that I'm a worrywart like my mom was. I always told my mom, Mom, I don't have to worry about anything because you got it covered. It's just the way my mom was wired. She just did. That's who she was. Even after she got born again, she struggled with that. She'd lay awake at night and worry about everything. She'd worry about worrying. Bless her heart. I miss her. It's been 12 years already she's been gone. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. You know, when the attacks come, it's not pleasant. But we also have the ability to maintain our peace in the midst of the attacks. You know, when I was in Africa in and they came breaking in our room at 3 o'clock in the morning with guns. Took a shot at me from 6 feet away from my head. And that bullet went past my head. I still got hearing loss, guys. That still has not... I've still got hearing loss in my left ear. If you're on the left side of me and you say something, I might not hear you. But that bullet went... I felt it. I literally could feel the disturbance in the air go past me. And that bullet come back and hit that guy in the middle of the chest that tried to shoot me. Wow! That's my Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, guys, I can't express to you enough. I've had people say to me, how in the world did you go back to Africa after that happened? I said, because I'm not going to leave this earth until God has ordained that I leave this earth. And this is something God called me to do. Here's the other thing. People have asked me, weren't you just struck with fear? And you know what? This is the honest to God truth. I literally had no fear. I was mad. I was fighting mad. If I could have got my hands, I'm telling you. But see, God was not shocked by this. I was. I was asleep. I had 15 milligrams of melatonin in me. Thank you. So I was kind of foggy. But seriously, getting shot out like that made me mad. It made me mad enough to hurt somebody. But they had two guns. But see, God took care of it. And He'll take care of every situation that we get into. So we've got to come to the place where we just trust Him. When we're going into surgery, don't worry about it. Pray, lay it at God's feet, and say, in your hands, Lord. Just put your life in His hands. No matter what the situation. Next one is in 1 John, the letter. Not the gospel. 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. Says, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. When we are in Christ, then we will automatically rise up against Jezebel, because the Spirit of God in us will empower us and compel us to stand against the Jezebel spirit. Because Jesus came to what? Destroy the devil's work. So we know what I just told you is true. Because He came to destroy the devil's work. And He has empowered us to do that. You know, when He left, just before He left, He said, even greater things than I've done, you'll do.
Right.
Now that's pretty radical. So, first point on how to defeat Jezebel, how to rise up against Jezebel in your personal life, resist fear. Resist fear, guys, no matter what. Second, give no place to Jezebel in your life. What's that mean? The woman or the man at work. The one that you get tingles when they walk by, or when you go in the lunchroom on break and they're in there. The one that gives you tingles. Run. Run! Run for your life! Don't go in the lunchroom anymore if you have to avoid that. Because she'll tear you down. Or he will. She or he. So the woman or man at work. Porn. Ladies. Romance novels. And soap operas. I personally know men that go home from work and their wife is fighting mad because they saw something on a soap opera or read it in a novel. And they're convinced their husband's doing it. I'm telling the truth. Unfortunately. I'm telling the truth. The husbands get accused. And then there's this snowball effect because after this goes on for about so long, I then have had husbands come to me and say, if I want to be accused of it, I might as well do it. It's a vicious cycle. And Jezebel is smiling. Facebook and chat rooms. I know innumerable marriages right here in this town. Why do I know about so many? Because I've lived here all my life. I know a lot of people in this area because I've lived here my whole life. And I know innumerable relationships, husband and wife relationships, that have been destroyed as a result of chat rooms and Matchbook. Yes, I said Matchbook instead of Facebook, because I've seen Facebook torch so many relationships. It always gets quiet when I preach this stuff. Probably won't have many people sign up for CDs today. It's all right, I kind of count on that. But it's the truth. And somebody's got to tell the truth. Why? Because we need warned. Because we have tendencies. I could name more things, but you get the idea. It's the whole idea that we need to hedge our lives in. Do not give place to Jezebel in your life. Don't let it happen. Slam the door on these things. I know temptations come. Slam the door on it. Third, put on the divine armor. We can't fight the devil, including the Jezebel spirit, in our own strength. Already talked about that. Never call out the Jezebel spirit or the devil because you think you are so grounded in your faith that you could never fall. That thought comes from pride. And pride goes before the fall. It says so in the Bible, so it's true. Pride goes before the fall. Thinking to ourselves, well, that could never happen to me. Oh boy, watch out. Watch out. Because it can happen so subtly. It never happens overnight. It's a process. Mm-hmm. A little slide here, a little slide there, a little slide, a little further slide. And the next thing you know, you're off in the ditch upside down with the wheels spinning. This is for the devil, and any spirit, including Jezebel. I have seen people's lives end up destroyed because the people have pridefully, believers, have pridefully called the devil out and said, show me your worst. And I have seen people's lives absolutely destroyed. Because that whole idea comes from pride, guys. What we are called to do is deal with the devil when he rears his ugly head and leave it at that. Get it done and be done with it. Don't get puffed up in pride because the enemy is subject to you because of Christ in you. Don't get puffed up in pride because of that. Just deal with it. The enemy sticks his head up, chop it off, and be done with it. Don't call him out. Challenge him. The Devil Went Down to Georgia is a song that is definitely not theologically sound. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of the young people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't get it. Has that got something to do with a phone with a cord on it? We're showing our age, all right? Just let me have my moment, guys. We love you. We are called to put on the armor of God and stand. When the enemy attacks us, we counterattack with spiritual weapons of warfare. And just so you know, remember, I've covered this many times when I've done warfare sermons, but I just want to say it again. The weapons of our warfare are what? Pardon me? Mighty for bringing down strongholds. And what are those three weapons?
The blood of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
The word.
The word of God. That's right. Those are the three weapons that we fight with. You guys are getting good at this. According to Ephesians 6, we are to be armed with God's own righteousness if we are to be protected against the enemy's attacks. We need to be clothed with God's righteousness. The robe of righteousness, as it's referred to in the Word of God. When we are born again believers and in a walk with Him, in a right relationship with God, we then are covered with the robe of righteousness. We need that covering as an armor. The fourth one and last one we're going to talk about, I'm running out of time, how we rise up against Jezebel in our personal lives. The final one on that topic is remain immersed in the joy of the Lord. Stay immersed in the joy of the Lord. When we lose our joy, we are vulnerable to the enemy. Some of you are not. Who can testify? That's true. I know it is. I just wanted to see if there's somebody else out there getting this. It's a danger zone that we get into when we lose our joy in the Lord. Isn't it something that the enemy is always throwing things in our lives to try to steal our joy? Don't give him place. Jezebel thrives in an atmosphere of fear and intimidation. And fear is always rooted in the anticipation of something bad in the future. False evidence appearing real. Right? So, then what do we do with that? Well, we must counter fear and intimidation. We talked about that already, so I'm not going to hammer that again. But we have got to come to the place where we just tell the enemy, oh, it's just you. You can go on your way. You don't have place here because I'm not buying. You go sell your wares somewhere else because I'm not buying today. I love it. My granddaughter Libby's sitting down here, and I remember a couple years ago she was telling me some boy at school was giving her a rough time. And her response was, not today, Satan. Yeah. I love it. Just real simple, not today, Satan. Probably not tomorrow either. That's good. I learn from my teenage grandkids once in a while, too. I hope they're learning a little bit from me. The joy of the Lord drives out fear, which is always prophesying failure to you. Did you know that fear always prophesies failure? Always. Fear will always do that. But the joy of the Lord drives out fear. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says so, so I believe it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Actually, I'll give you this reference to that. It's Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. That verse tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Also, reflecting on what God has prepared for His people will help us keep our joy. God has put a pretty descriptive outline of what we have to look forward to, and it looks fabulous to think about it. We have got to keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith as we walk through these things in our personal lives. Because life is not easy. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care where in the world you live. Life is not easy. There are pitfalls and there are things in life that we didn't see coming, but we've got a choice to make. Am I going to keep my eyes on my Creator? On the author and finisher of my faith? Or am I going to keep looking into this world for peace and become overwhelmed over and over and over again? When I fall to looking at just the world, I get overwhelmed. Anybody else? All you got to do is look at the news. You get overwhelmed. 10 minutes. Yeah. You know, the other day, I'm off my media fast. I need to go back on it. After I got off my media fast, man, I turned on the news. I watched it for 10 minutes. I was having a good day up to that point. And after 10 minutes of the news, I couldn't see any reason to live here anymore. I'm ready to go be with Jesus, man. I'm just passing through. One good thing that comes out of this is it does remind us that we are supposed to be living here like we are passing through. Because this world is not our home. And if we are comfortable in this world the way it is now, there's something wrong. Right? All right, you getting it so far? Looks like you're standing against the devil. We're gonna rise up against Jezebel. All right, let's all stand together. Father, I just thank you for your goodness You are a good, good God. And Lord, that's why we're here, to worship you, to study your word, to learn of you, and to serve you. And Lord, as we leave here, we're entering our mission field. We just pray, Lord, that you will clothe us with righteousness, that, Lord, you will fill us with your light, and that, Lord God, as we leave this place and enter our mission field, that, Lord God, you will use us, and you will use us to attract people and draw people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Protect us, Lord, from the wiles of the enemy. Surround us with your presence. Be a wall of fire around us, as it says in Zechariah. And Lord, we will do everything that we can to live our life in you, and you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you. Thank you.